Let me pray for us. God, we are so excited about what you have for us today as we worship you. God, we look forward to your word. We look forward to how your spirit will speak to us. And God, I know we're coming from all kinds of situations this week, but we know that you care, you see, and that you are powerful. So God, raise our expectations and hope for what you can do through us and in us today. In your good name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go through our message today. You'll notice if you're a regular attendee of Edgewater, we usually have sermon notes. This week we don't because I want to change things up a little bit. I want you guys just to relax. Hear the story of Christmas. We're going to look at a very fun passage talking about Christmas. I want you to enjoy the season here. You will need your Bibles. To start us off, I want us to watch a video. I'm not going to tell you much about this video, I'm going to ask you questions afterwards about this video. This is what I'm going to tell you. What you're going to see is something that happens in a subway station in Washington, D.C., the D.C. Metro. It happened about 2 years ago in January, and what we're going to see, it's going to be condensed to 2.5 minutes, but we're actually going to see a 45-minute span in this subway station, condensed to 2.5 minutes. Now, after you watch this video, I'm going to ask you, what do you see, okay? So be prepared to answer that question. What do you see? What do you think is going on? You guys ready? Okay, let's watch it. All right, you guys, what did you see happen? One person spoke, yeah.
Another started to the beginning to do something a bit
more. Yeah, right, yep. Anything else you guys see? No one really noticed the guy, right? Here's a guy playing for 45 minutes during rush hour. No one really noticed. This man, his name is Joshua Bell, the violinist. He's a world-renowned violinist. The violin he's playing, worth $3 million. 3 days earlier, he sold out the Boston Symphony. The minimum price for a ticket was $100. To watch him. He earned about $32 in 45 minutes from 27 people who stopped. No one recognized him except that one lady. Did you catch that? She walks by, she goes, "I know this guy." And she just stood there and watched. Isn't that amazing? 3 days earlier, people couldn't afford him. In the subway, they walk right by him. Don't even notice. And one lady stops. She goes, "I can't believe this." You know, this can happen during Christmas time. That God has come to earth in the form of Jesus. And sometimes with all the hubbub, with all the craziness, we just walk by and forget that God came to earth. And it's so easy to just walk on by and not realize what is happening. And so my goal for us, church, today and this week is that we would just stop. Realize what is going on. Enjoy the amazingness of what God has done for us and not miss out. So the theme for this morning is I don't want you to miss the violinist. Make sense? We don't want to miss it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through a fairly popular Bible passage that predicts this amazing day of God coming through the person of Jesus Christ. It was written to a group of people who might have missed the violinist, that might have just walked on by. And so we're going to look at this passage, give it meaning, apply it to our lives. So what I want you to do is open your Bibles. We're going to go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. If you don't know where Isaiah is, it's in the middle of your Bible is a book called Psalms. There's a couple books after that. If you are not familiar where these books are, I want to give you a clue. Christians have a thing called the cheat sheet in the Bible. It's called the table of contents, okay? You're allowed to look. You're allowed to look up front and look for Isaiah. And we're going to go to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. You got it? All right, Isaiah chapter 9, I'll read out loud and follow along, verses 1 through 6. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he," meaning God, "humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali." We'll talk about what's going on here. "But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bars across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen? What I want to do is walk us through. So let's start off with the top again. Let me read verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now I want to backtrack just for a second and say that something happened 2,000 years ago in the city of Bethlehem. This is a picture of how Bethlehem looks today, a very small town in the country of Israel. Something happened 2,000 years ago. A baby was born. That's what happened. It was only announced to some shepherds, if you want, some security guards of sheep. That's the only people who really knew what was going on. But today around the world, at least this week, this season around the world, over 2 billion people, a third of the world's population, will be celebrating this day. Something that happened in a small town. We're going to go, what happened? Why is that the case? Now in the passage we read, we're talking about two lands. It says that though God humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. So I want to talk about these two lands, because unless you know what's going on, it's very confusing. You know, sometimes we refer to things in our past, and they make no sense to other people. So for instance, you know, we might say, oh, we don't ever want Pearl Harbor to happen again. Now you and I know what that means, but people from other countries might go, what are you talking about? Well, what's going on here that he's talking about? Remember what happened in the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali? Let's remember what's going on. So I want to tell you the story of what happened there. About 700 years B.C., the country of Israel was divided between a land called Judah and Israel. There were two lands, Zebulun and Naphtali, who, because of God's anger towards the whole country of Israel, were in a battle. Now, these lands had a bad reputation. Israel had strong ethnic identity. These were the lands where foreigners would live, where immigrants would live. So people who weren't used to the culture would live there. You know, we say today, you know, they don't even speak Hebrew. They don't even speak English over there. You know, it's kind of like, that's the area that's kind of the slums. We don't go there. It's mixed race. We don't like it. So these lands had a bad reputation. Well, a big army called Assyria came and began to conquer Israel. And the first two lands they took out were Zebulun and Naphtali. First two lands that got defeated. Eventually all of Israel was defeated, but they were the first two. And I don't know if you've ever been on a sports team and you're kind of going against the other team and you kind of got the competitive spirit on, but then your goalie or whatever, let's say it's soccer, your goalie really lets you down, or there's a chink in the armor and you lose because someone on the team let you down. How do you usually feel about someone like that? Right? Anger. It's a basketball game. The guy didn't come through. He missed the shot. Well, you begin to think about these countries, Zebulun and Naphtali, and think, you guys let us down. We were against the army, and you were the first ones that failed. So you guys are a country of immigrants, and you guys failed us. You're the weak link in our country. In fact, because there were so many foreigners, this land, these two lands were called the land of the Gentiles, even though it was Israel. In fact, when you read, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, he's talking about these two lands. So the army came in, they started defeating, and these lands were totally humbled. Totally embarrassed. I want to ask you guys, have you ever been really humbled? Have you ever gone through something that's just a bit humiliating? I remember when I was 18, it was my birthday. April 9th, by the way. Okay, so anyway. It was my birthday, and I thought for sure my friends were planning a surprise birthday party that evening. And I wanted to catch them in it. I wanted to kind of, you know, surprise them that I knew what was going on. And so from about 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., I was following two of my friends in particular around town because I was sure that they were going to do something to surprise me. So they were shopping. I'm like, they're getting me my gifts. They were visiting homes. I'd wait outside because I was, this is a little obsessive, but I was kind of a stalker, just waiting to kind of figure out. And then I had an appointment with another friend. I stopped by. He wasn't there. I thought, oh, he's in on this as well. So I for 2 hours, I'm kind of thinking I'm all smart. 9 p.m. shows up, and nothing happens. It ends up that my friends totally forgot about my birthday. And I spent 2 hours thinking all their activities was all about me. And in fact, all they were doing was shopping. It had nothing to do with me. And I don't know if you've ever been humbled, but you know, just felt, because sometimes you just think you're the center of attention, like you're it, and then something happens and you realize you're not as great as you thought you were. You're not the center of attention. And so we've all been humbled in these lands. You know, they were humbled. And from all their peers, they were embarrassed. So the passage says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are distressed. In the past, God humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. You know, sometimes God humbles us. Sometimes God humbles you just to remind you who you are. He'll put you through a situation where you think you were it. You had it all together. And you go through something and you just fail. And people see it. And sometimes God humbles you. He wants to remind you who you are. But he does that to honor you later. So that when he honors you, you can say, that wasn't me, that was God. That was God working. Well, in this passage, God is promising these two embarrassed lands that he is going to lift them up and honor them. Yeah, I embarrassed you in the past, but now I'm going to honor you. I want to show you a map of Israel. Deborah is going to put it up. And I have a make-do laser pointer here. This is Israel. The land of Naphtali is right there. Do you guys see that? It's a little hard to read. And right below it, I'm underlining it, is Zebulun. Right there, these two lands right here. These are the embarrassed countries. God says, I am going to honor you guys. And what's interesting is Zebulun, two important lands are there. Nazareth is in there. Nazareth is where Jesus grew up. And so, though this land was embarrassed, it's a place that God chose for Jesus' hometown. Another thing, Cana is in Zebulun. Cana was where Jesus did his first miracle. So I embarrassed you in the past, but I'm going to honor you now. Out of you will be the hometown of me on earth, and my first miracle will take place in your territory. There's the land of Naphtali up here. And Naphtali is the land of Capernaum, where Jesus did nearly all his ministry, all his miracles, and all his parables. So these two lands that were embarrassed by God, he honored them and said, now from you, I'm going to honor you. And he chose these places in Hickville for him to come. I mean, Lodi. Like, what's in Lodi, right? You know, it's like, but that is where Christ is going to come from. In fact, when Jesus did his ministry, people were shocked because here's this man doing all these things and they go, Nazareth? Can anything good come of Nazareth? Why would God choose to work out of there? When Jesus was doing all these miracles, the religious people say, no prophet can come from this area. No way. If they're going to come, they're going to come from the richer area in Jerusalem, but Naphtali, Capernaum, no way. And so Jesus was along these battle lines the whole way through. People were just in disbelief that a guy that God would use would come through these lands that were humiliated lands, that had no prestige to them. And God says, though I humbled you, I will honor you. And people may look, but God, why those people? And the people in there will say, well, it's not us. We're the armpit of your country. But it's because God's working through us. And so sometimes God humbles you and I because he wants to work through us in amazing ways. So we know that it's him that's working. It's him, and all we can do is point to God. So what I want to talk about today is that if you are feeling humbled to God, humbled by God, we're going to talk about how God wants to honor you through Christmas. If you're feeling humbled by God, embarrassed, that God may want to honor you, and I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss the violence. I want you to see what God is doing this Christmas. So this passage goes on, and God uses three different pictures. I'm going to talk about them. If we go to verse 3, it says, "You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder." The first picture that God talks about of how he's going to honor these people, he talks about enlarging the nations. And at first we think, oh, that just means like bigger boundaries. But what people would have read back then is that God is now including people he didn't include before. You know, the nation of Israel was only open to Israelites, to Jewish people. But now God is saying, I'm going to let a lot more people be included. We sometimes have a mentality of offense. This is, use your imagination, this is offense. That's been in my backyard, so it has some stuff on it. And sometimes we think of following Jesus as, you know, there's people who are in, and there's people who are out. And your goal as a Christian is to get in, and do what you can to get inside God's fence, God's territory. But God says, the way I'm going to honor you guys who have been dishonored and humiliated is I'm going to enlarge the nations. I'm going to push the fence back. So Christina, before you weren't included, but guess what? Boom, now you are. Yes. Marcy, before you felt like you're on the outside, but God's going to enlarge his nation. You're in. Ron, you know all the mistakes you've made in your life, and you think, will I ever make it in? And God says, boom, you're now included. I'm enlarging the nations. Sound team, you're always in the background. No one ever recognizes you. You wonder, does God, do we count? And God says, boom, I include you. I have enlarged the nations. And those of you who thought you weren't included now are. And we can come to God sometimes and think, but God, if you really knew what I've done, there's no way you can include me. And God says, boom, welcome. But God, you don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the things I've done. Boom, you're inside. But God, I have cursed you. I've ignored you. I've done life on my own. Boom, welcome to my country. And God enlarges the nations. And one of the first things that God says to those he's humbled, he says, I now include you. Welcome. Welcome. But God, I didn't do it. It doesn't matter. Through my son, my gift to you, I now include you in my country. I remember when I was working in the computer industry, I'd invite workmates to church and they would say, oh, but you don't know the kind of life I've lived. You don't know. And all I want to say is, boom, you're in. You're in. God gives us grace. And our behavior, our good works, is a result of that, not the other way around. Don't get it confused. We sometimes think we have to be good to get inside. But God says, no, I'm going to be good to you first. And as a result, you receive that gift. And you have grace and you live the life I want you to live. Amen? Amen. Through this amazing thing, through these thick lands, that God is going to bring a new person to save us. And what do people do as a result? It says, get this, verse 3, you've enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. You know, payday. How many of you just enjoy payday? You get the check in the mail and you rejoice, right? Or the bonus at the end of the year. You know, there's rejoicing. And they're like, at the harvest, we're dividing the spoil. So I think when people realize that they've been included, they just celebrate. It's like, we got paid. We got the bonus. I think we need to celebrate right now. So I think we need to imagine that you just got a big bonus from God. He includes you and we say, thank you, God. So let's applaud God right now. This is a little weak. We can also shout, okay? All right, so we're whipping it up, all right? Okay, here we go. God is good? Yeah! Woo! Because the people rejoice. When you realize that Jesus, through God, through Jesus, moved the fence, you've got to celebrate. How does God honor those who've been humbled? Verse 4. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Now, the picture is a bar or a rod across the shoulders. You guys ever felt burdened before? You feel the stress, you feel the anxiousness, you feel like something is on top of you that you're just trying to get freedom from. And the Bible says that God has removed the bar, the burden. He talks about the day of Midian's defeat. About 500 years before this passage was written, the Israelites were conquered by a country called the Midianites. They were so mean that the Israelites had to live in caves or else they would get killed. So you have this country living in caves, but then you can't really grow food in caves. So they would go outside and plant their crops and go back in and hide in the caves. But these Midianites were so cruel that when they saw the crops growing up, they would go and stamp them all out. So people had to start growing food in weird places like wine presses just to hide. And they felt oppressed by the Midianites. You know, there's sometimes where we make mistakes, we get into patterns, we've made decisions, and we feel the results of those decisions, and it just feels like a burden on our back. A heavy weight that we just want to get rid of. Well, then what happens is God calls a guy named Gideon. And he says, I'm going to free you from the bar, the yoke of this oppressor. But I'm going to do it in an impossible way. So he says, Gideon, I want you to gather Israel's army. We're going to conquer these people who've been putting a burden on you. So he gets all the people, and God says, you know what? The army's too big. The army's too big. If you win right now, people are going to think it's because of the strength of your army. So tell everyone who's scared of the Midianites to go home. The Bible says that 22,000 men left at that point. God looks at the army and says, it's still too big. And so he asks them to go through a little test, and the army gets whittled down to 300 people against hundreds of thousands against the enemy. And so you have this weak army going against a stronger army that's been oppressive, that's put the yoke, and he says, go get them. And in a miraculous way, God confuses the army of the Midianites. They start killing each other, and the 300 is like, look, and they gather all the plunder afterwards, and their burden is gone. And Jesus, or God, is saying that through my son, I am going to lighten your load. I'm going to take the bar off your shoulders. Decisions you've made and you feel the consequences, God can make up for it. Decisions that have been made for you and you're feeling the consequences, God can make up for it. You're involved in any kind of a drug or alcohol or addiction, God can do something about that. You're addicted by resentment and it feels like a weight on you, God can do something about that. You know, we all have kind of core sins, things that we tend to fall into. Mine surprised me, because I didn't realize it until I was in my 20s. But my core sin, the thing I go to really quickly, is resentment. So what? Don't bother me, or else, you know. I'm quick at grudges. I really am. And God brought this to light, and I began to just write on some pieces of paper all the resentments. I've shared this before. All the resentments I was carrying. And it filled up pages and pages and pages. And I thought, God, there is no way I can deal with all this. There's just no way. It's too big of a burden. I'm always angry. I'm always carrying something. There's no way I can deal with this. But it was only through God's grace that he led me on steps to take. And he asked me to talk to a lot of people and ask for their forgiveness for holding grudges. And so I began to make lots of appointments with people. I remember talking to my roommate, and I said, you know, Paul, you know how you keep a journal? Well, I was so angry with you that I actually stole your journal and read it and put it back. Will you forgive me? I had lots of those conversations. Just coming clean, asking for forgiveness. It was really tough, only by God's grace. But something happened through that. This weight I was feeling was removed. And it was through Jesus modeling forgiveness that I learned how to forgive and how to be free. Came for the Israelites. The bar had been shattered. And so one way that God wants to honor you if you've been humbled is through releasing you through the burdens you carry right now. There's a third picture that God uses about this raising up, this honoring for those who've been humbled. Verse 5. Every warrior's boot used in the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. Here God's talking about that all the things you've used to fight your battles, all the things you've used for your wars, you can destroy them. And that's the third symbol. It's my son's little sword. I couldn't find a real one. My son will go around and pretend he's a pirate. This is his sword. But one of the ways he honors those who've been humbled, he promises peace. A lot of us have a sword when it comes to our relationship with God or our relationship to other people. We're angry at God, or we're angry at people. And we carry this. We may not carry a physical sword, but inside our hearts we carry a sword. And it's a sort of anger, of resentment, of wanting to get even. And God says that, you know what, through this gift I'm going to give you, you're going to be able to burn all the things you use for war. You're going to be able to take your sword and just toss them by the way. And you will be free. You will have right relationship with God and with other people. So God is promising these humiliated lands honoring. He's going to include them. He's going to free them from their burdens. And he's going to give them peace in their relationship with God and other people. I want to invite Jared to come up. Jared's going to share some of his story of how he's seen God do this in his life. So let's welcome Jared. Jared, we've talked a lot about your life, so I know you share a lot with me. About 10 years ago, or maybe a little longer, God really humbled you. I wonder if you can just maybe share about that and how in the process of him humbling you, you also felt included.
Like you said, about 10 years ago, I was one of those people who knew the Lord, knew right from wrong, but just kind of chose to go my own way, take things in my own hands, and I always had it fairly good. I thought everything was well. And through my decisions to fall into sin, to not follow the word, I found myself in a situation where I created problems in my own life. Through having children out of wedlock, eventually, having children from different women. And it just put myself in a situation where it was hard for me to deal with my own reality. So I kind of turned to drugs to numb myself from my own reality. And I didn't know that then. I was just kind of, So anyways, through drugs, I eventually strayed away from my family. I started to get involved in just nothing but associating myself with people who were, into drugs, and my addiction grew stronger and I grew further from my family. I eventually started associating more and more with the gangs and eventually found myself in and out of jail for a few years. And I just feel that as far as humbling goes, me thinking that maybe I was cool before all of that came into my onto my plate there, I definitely didn't feel very cool then. So I definitely feel that I was humbled and I was put in a situation where all the error of my ways was definitely reflected and took its toll on my life.
Yeah.
And
can you tell us, you share with me a little bit what your life was like during that period? You want to share any of that?
I can remember, it's all just all bad. I can remember walking through the streets at night, kicking rocks, punching stop signs, just kind of, yelling at people as they drove by, just angry, bitter. And at one point, even questioning my own life, whether I was worth being here. And I think all of those acts that I did were kind of like just desperate cries for help. Yeah. But those cries definitely were answered.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about the turning point? What happened where you began to sense God's inclusion in your life, that he actually loved you and wanted more for you?
Well, I think that God really showed himself to me through my family. And I think that whether they realize it or not, that he really was working through them and helping them to, first of all, to put up with me, and second of all, just to never give up on me. And as far as that fence and being included, as far as I had gone astray and as much as I had done wrong, God chose to include me and keep me within that fence. And I just feel like it just through, I really truly have experienced God's grace, because for me to come back from where I were and to be here now, I thank God each day, because I know that it is His grace. And I can just feel it. Just, I mean, just waking up and, you know, at 12 noon each day in the middle of the day, I feel His mercy and I feel grace and I just feel a sense that He has saved me. So each day I'm grateful, and the little things that I do as far as just bringing my family to church or maybe kind words to a friend or even a stranger for that matter, I just feel like any little thing that I can do that is good is just is like the least I can do at trying to make an attempt to say thank you to God for Him saving my life.
So anything you'd want to tell the church, encourage them from your experiences?
I think if anything, it's just to never give up on people. That everybody can, you know, as bad as they may be or as hopeless as any case may look, that there always is hope. Yeah. And that good things do come from the, you know, maybe the ugliest circumstances. Because I may have been good throughout my whole life and been here in church with you guys, but my heart would not feel the joy that it does without having gone through what I have gone through. And I'm sure that each of you have gone through things in your own life and know people that maybe have gone or are still going through things in their life that just make it really difficult and really hard to see hope. But God is good, and He will see you through. And, you know, maybe not every single story is a success story. I know a lot of good people that are still left behind and are still out there and may still be lost, but I pray for them daily, and I know that with each one of those, you know, people who are astray, there's a whole story just waiting to unfold. And I just, you know, I pray that if you are in a position where you can help somebody or even just make an attempt to help, you know, that you do so and just never give up on people.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. Let me pray for you, all right? God, only you. God, we thank you that through your gift 2,000 years ago, you are someone who can do what you've done in Jared's life and countless others' lives as well. That God, while we were far from you and humbled, you went after us, you loved us, you changed us from the inside out, you redeemed us, and we just pray for Jared right now, Lord. We trust that you will bring to completion what you have started, that we know that we're not even seeing the finished product yet, Lord. You're doing so much in him. So I pray that he would grow more and more in his love for you, and that God, through his story, he would touch the lives of hundreds of people in your name. Thank you. In your good name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jared. Through the gift 2,000 years ago, God includes us. He frees us. He gives us peace. So the question is, as people are reading this passage years ago, they're asking, how, God, are you going to do all this? How are you going to lift this burden? How are you going to bring this peace? Through what majestic person, through what majestic event are you going to do all these things? And then God gives the most surprising verse ever. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born. God, you're going to all do this through a kid? You're going to bring peace? You're going to remove burdens? You're going to include through a kid? To us a son is given. A baby boy. And the government will be on his shoulders. Which means, and this man's going to be in charge. You know, when Jesus did his ministry, Jesus came from a really humble background. When he did his ministry, when he spoke, people were like, this man speaks with authority. When he healed, when he conquered demonic possessions, people go, this man has power. The government is on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And people, when Jesus ministered, his hometown buddies go, aren't you the construction worker? We knew you when you were working with wood. And God is using you, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And if we're not careful, we miss the violinist. We miss the amazing thing God is doing through these humble circumstances. And I don't want you to miss the violinist. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You wonder what to do in your life. You're at a crossroads and you make a decision. He is called Wonderful Counselor. He wants to guide you. Don't miss the violinist. You wonder, what are you going to do with the battles in front of you? There are things going on in your life that you have yet to conquer. You wonder, who's going to fight these battles? And He is called Mighty God. He will fight the battle for you. Don't walk by the violinist. You wonder if you're abandoned, if anyone loves you, if your mistakes have severed relationships, does anyone care? And He is called the Everlasting Father. The one that never abandons. The one that will run after you. Don't ignore Him. Don't miss the violinist. You have relationships that are severed. You feel guilty before God. He is called the Prince of Peace. He is the one that will restore you. Don't walk on by. Don't miss the violinist. What I want you to do this week, this morning, as you celebrate Christmas, is to stop. To listen. Did you catch that one lady in the video who just stopped? I want you to stop and enjoy the gift that God is giving you this season. Don't miss Him. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He heals people. He forgives people. He's the one where people who are far from God felt included. He is the Redeemer. He makes good out of bad. He seeks after the lost. And God says, this is my gift to you through humble circumstances. Don't miss the violinist. So stop. Enjoy Jesus this season. Love the music He plays for you. Thank Him. Give Him your time. When Philip was telling his friend Nathanael about Jesus, Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." And that's my invitation for you guys. Come and see and enjoy Him. It's a scandal through a baby boy. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, we thank You for this amazing gift. And I pray, Lord, that this season we would have a renewed interest in the miracle, the scandal that You did 2,000 years ago. God, You are amazing. And what You do is amazing. That You would send a baby boy to save us, to make things right. So God, I pray for those here who are trying to do things on their own. They're trying to make decisions on their own. They're trying to work through relationships on their own. They're trying to deal with battles on their own. They're trying to make things right on their own. And I pray, God, that people here who are in that situation would just hold on to You during this season and trust that You are the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And God, for all of us, it's very easy just to go through all the hubbub with presence and family and miss You in the midst of it. So Lord, I pray we would stop and listen and enjoy You. Thank You, God. You are amazing, and we say thank You. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. What we're going to do real quick is take out our connection cards one more time. And we're going to fill out the backs here. This is a chance for you to sign up for your class, if you want to sign up for a class, a membership class. If there's a decision you want to make this morning, please write it down and let me know. We pray through these every week. Any prayer requests as well. So go ahead and fill those out. We're going to take our offering. And what you can do is take these cards and put them in the offering basket as it goes by. If you're a first-time guest, please just let the offering go on by. We're just glad you're here. This is for our regular attenders. We love to give. And as we do this, we're going to worship as well. Is that right? Great. Would you pray for the offering, Amy?
I would.
Thanks.
I will. Would you join me in prayer?